Well, we are going to read from the Word of God from 2 Chronicles and chapter 29. 2 Chronicles 29. I shall be reading from the King James Version, but I trust you can follow it in your Bibles. 2 Chronicles and chapter 29. And while you're turning to that passage, I want to bring you greeting from England, from our church, Providence Chapel. It is a joy to be amongst you, a great privilege. And we have been praying for you, and I've been assured by our elders and consistory that they are praying for us today. And may the Lord bless each one of us through His Word. Let us read God's Word from 2 Chronicles and chapter 29, the first 19 verses. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken Him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, and that ye should minister unto Him and burn incense. Then the Levites arose, Mahath the son of Amasai, and Joel the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, and of the sons of Merari, Kish the son of Abdi, and Azariah the son of Jehalelel, and of the Gershonites, Joah the son of Zimmah, and Eden the son of Joah, and of the sons of Elizaphan, Shimri, and Jeiel, and of the sons of Asaph, Zechariah and Mattaniah, and of the sons of Heman, Jehiel and Shimei, and of the sons of Jeduthun, Shimeiah and Uzziel. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Then they went into Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof, and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified. And behold, they are before the altar of the Lord." Amen. May God bless his word to each one of us. Well, it is my privilege this morning to bring to you God's word. And I trust, as I have prayed about this, that the Lord would write his word upon our hearts and make it effectual for his own glory and for our own good. When we read this passage of God's word in 2 Chronicles, it must challenge us. We are living in a world, and I'm sure in the United States you suffer from the same spiritual illness that we suffer in the United Kingdom. United Kingdom is a barren land. It is a desert, spiritually speaking. And it is desperate for God to visit us and to revive us and to bring about a new reformation. Every generation must depend on God for fresh blessing. We thank God for our past heritage, for our forefathers. We must not forget that. We must be the students of history, both natural history and also inspired history of the Word of God. And this morning we have this inspired history recorded for us in the words of the Scripture. Friends, we can talk about things in very much generalities. And there's a danger in this. To look elsewhere, to think happy thoughts of ourselves, to think of, especially in this year, the anniversary of the Reformation, the 500th anniversary of Reformation, that many people are preaching about it and having conferences and so on, to neglect heart religion, personal faith and following the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I trust that the Lord would apply his word this morning to each one of us, that we will be stirred up, we will be encouraged to seek the Lord and to be encouraged that with God all things are possible. The man who can truly say, "To me to live is Christ," he shows Christianity in its purest form. If Christ lives in us and we live for him, that is wonderful. It's only God's grace that does that in the heart. For Christ to increase in us and we decrease, that includes every task, every mundane things that we do, Christ increasing in it, in our homes. For those of you who are alone and maybe have to spend many hours through the week alone, for Christ to be with you, that's a wonderful thing. And then for those of us who are so busy, early hours of morning, going out and different tasks and activities and studies, for Christ to be with us, for him to be increasing in our lives as we look to him and his cross be our glory, that's a wonderful thing. But there is the danger, my friends, in our lives, especially in our kind of churches, that we stress so much on doctrine, and it is very essential because life follows right doctrine. But I remember in seminary, our systematic theology lecturer said to us this: "This doctrine must go from your head to your heart, or it will be dead orthodoxy." And as we had to memorize so much doctrine and the Westminster Confession it was, and the shorter and larger catechisms, there was this emphasis made: students, has it reached your heart yet or no? And we can, my friends, be very happy in our form of church government and doctrine and theology, and for it not to move us to serve the Lord, to live for Him, move us to tear. If our lives do not show itself in bringing glory to God and eternal blessing into the lives of sinful men and women, then our lives are like, as the scripture describes it, as clouds without water. And so we need living, experiential Christianity, or it will be dead and cold. Hezekiah's revival and that work that God did through him was the outcome of God's grace, of course, in his life, that resulted in his own living faith in the living God, the faith which works by love, as the scripture says. And I ask you this at the beginning, I challenge you, do you have this faith in Jesus Christ, the only Savior of God's people? Where is spirituality in your life? In your decision making? In the daily tasks? Is your eye upon the Lord? What about the children this morning? We cannot depend upon our parents. The scripture says, our Lord says, ye must be born again. Have you tasted of the goodness of God and the grace of God? Hezekiah tasted of that. And that began him in a course of change. It wasn't something that he forced himself into it. It was something that was his desire, his rejoicing. As David says, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So I want us this morning to learn some things from Hezekiah's life and prayerfully see the features of true reformation and revival. And we must pray to God that the Lord would speak to us personally. And there are two things I want to say this morning in the time that we have, which is very little time. The sands of time has been sinking faster this part of the world than in England. The English are slower, especially foreigners like me. Well, we must move on quickly then through these things and trust that the Lord would bless us. First, I want us to think about the evidences that revival and reformation was desperately needed. And then secondly, I want us to think about and look at the evidences that reformation and revival came to the nation by God's grace. So, first thing is that the evidences that a reformation and revival was desperately needed. And I will have to rush through these things. There are four or five matters I want to highlight from this passage and the previous chapter too that we see. The first thing that we notice, and this is in the previous chapter, verse 24 of chapter 28 of 2 Chronicles, we find that it says that the holy things are cut in pieces. So we read in chapter 28 of 2 Chronicles, and verse 24, these words. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God. The vessels. These vessels that were dedicated for God's service as the priests would go about in the various rituals and the sacrificial system. They were holy vessels. Only for God's use and God's worship. They were set aside to be used for the Lord and His service. What happened to them? It says that they were hated, so much hated, and they were so much despised by King Ahaz because he hated God. That's why. When people hate the things of God, it's because they hate God. Even though they might say, oh, I love the Lord. But if things of God are hated and despised, then the Lord of those things is despised as well. And so Ahaz thought to do what he could to make things useless in the house of God. So then it is that if he made those things useless, that they couldn't use it, it meant that God's people, even if they wanted to, they couldn't use those things. And so this is a mark that the land needed this reformation and revival, because the holy things were cut off and cut up. There was a hatred for God and the means of worship of God. Isn't it the case in the Western world, in the Western society, in this country? The things precious to God and precious to His people, they're, as it were, made useless, cut up. The minds of the people are filled with things that drives them away from the things of the Lord. They are cut in pieces, the vessels of the house of God. We could say even about this book in our hands, the 66 books of the Bible, there are so many vessels that are needed for God's people to use in their temple, in their life, in their churches. And yet so many, They put it under doubt. They distrust it. Even within the outward church, there are ministers in our town who despise the passages that describe the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say, it never happened. And so they preach it to their congregations that these things are fables and stories. What are they doing? They're cutting up the vessels of the house of God. When the prophecies of a scripture, when the creation account, it is done away with. When the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is made simply a spiritual matter that has already taken place. These things are things that causes people to leave the Word of God and His promises. And we are in our society surrounded by very subtle yet hostile atmosphere, and in this society that we are living in. And that's why we must watch the sources which are cutting up the vessels of God. The media, we must guard our hearts what we take in, what our children take in, the books, even the leaders, of our government, leaders, even within the professing church. We must examine everything by this book. We must not cut it up in our hearts. Friends, this land needs revival. It needs reformation. There are too much discrediting of the holy things of God. The Lord is not revered in the land. Even in the churches, He is not revered. He is not taken with awe and fear. The fear of the Lord is the thing that is missing in the land. But is it missing in us? Coming here to worship God this morning, recognizing before whom are we coming to? Did you spend time this morning? It's a very personal thing, I say. Did you spend time this morning? It doesn't matter how long, but humbly, sincerely, calling upon God, asking Him to prepare your heart as you come before Him to worship Him. This is the God before whom the angels cover their faces and cover their feet. But what about us who have the feet of clay? Reverence for God is the thing that is missing. But then, another thing is the way of access to God is closed. Again, in that passage in verse 24 of chapter 28, we read that Ahaz had shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. He had shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. Israel surely needed revival because even God's people could not enter to worship their God. Ahaz hated and Ahaz denied that Jehovah existed, and then he wanted to shut others out from acknowledging Jehovah as God in the temple. And that was a sign that there was no communion with God. You see, the doors, what do? They open up. They allow access to God. They give us access to the Lord, the doors. It's a spiritual thing. The doors are for entrance. That's what you did. You came through doors. The buildings have doors. It's our point of access to places. And so our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of himself as being the door. What is he saying? By me you can enter to the throne of God, to salvation. We can go in and out before the Lord, as they did, going up to the house of God to pray, as David said. And friends, let me again make this matter very personal. Generally speaking, in the Bible-believing churches, in Reformed churches, I can only say in our land, in England, our prayer meetings, even our services, we find a people who do not use the means by which they can commune with God in the congregations. Even professing Christians choose to let other things dictate their lives rather than wanting to be with the Lord and with his people. We need revival, my friends. The doors of communion, it seems to be shut. People are not entering in to commune with God. And so when we make it personal, I have to ask myself, what is my communion with God like? How often do I seek him? How am I dependent on him? The doors of my heart, are they open to the Lord? Or the doors of the hearts of people, are they shut up to the real and earnest spiritual wrestling with God? There are doors of commitment to serve the Lord and taking opportunities in God's service is shut. There's so much apathy in the land of England, and I believe in the Western world, so much apathy and coldness and carelessness. I deal with many of God's dear people in under persecution in my home country of Iran. And I am ashamed. I blush when I talk to people like that, who under such hardship are full of life and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a brother talking to him and say, how is it that you're going visiting these businesses and what you have in your hand is the Gospel of John? Do you not fear? And he said to me this. This is before he was imprisoned. He said, but these people need the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I do not do that, who amongst us will do that? And that causes me to blush, who live in peace and prosperity and comfort in the West. The doors are shut. It is a clear sign that we need revival and reformation. We can rejoice over the past, but let us not be like the Pharisees who whitewashed and built the tombs of the prophets. But if they were alive then, they would hate them and they would murder them. The third thing, there are many things I wanted to say, but third thing is this, that the light of the testimony was put out. That's another sign that they were desperately in need of revival and reformation. And that is what we find in verse 7 of chapter 29. Verse 7, here is Hezekiah saying these words. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps. He says, they've put out the lamps. The lamps of God in the temple of God. What were the lamps for? To display, to light upon the glorious, that beautiful temple of the Lord. And they were fed with that holy oil to reveal the beauty and the majesty that was around them. And their light became unbearable to those who loved the darkness of pagan and religions and falsehood. My friends, the beauty of God's house. Not this building. The house of God not made with hands. The house of God, the temple of the Lord that we have, which has the Spirit of God within. What is this light describing? It is describing a people who are shining for God, displaying the glory of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is coming out from them. But what if that is put out? How can you put out that light? It's the light of the testimony, if I can apply it in this way. It's the light of the testimony of God's people. When the testimony is put out because of sin, because of unbelief, because of being so cast down that our life is filled not with joy unspeakable and full of glory. All we see is blackness and darkness. And it is something we ought to watch for. We can easily discourage others by our negative thoughts and feelings. We must see always in the midst of all the dark clouds that there is the sunshine above it. The Lord is upon the throne. Isn't that what we believe? But then it has to be practical. We must daily live with that light of God upon our hearts. But what is our profession like? What do others see in us? How is our testimony? The testimony of our tongues. We read those convicting words. Every time you feel well of yourself, you think well of yourselves, I recommend you to read the Epistle of James. How convicting it is. And it just talks in one place only about the tongue. Which one of us would not hang their heads in shame? What is the testimony of your tongue? Gossiping words, exaggerations, saying things that are not exactly true. The lamp of testimony is put out. People see through these things. Time shows of our testimony before our children, before other believers, before the world. Another thing is that we find, the fourth thing is that the offering of incense is given up. Again, in verse 7 of chapter 29, we read this. They put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offering in the holy place unto the God of Israel. It says that they have not burnt incense. What is that? The incense. You see, when the lamps of testimony have been put out, the offering of the incense, that also goes out. Offering of incense in the scriptures, it's the picture of prayers of the saints, prayers of God's people. We have it in the book of Revelation. We have it in the Psalms. David speaks of this in Psalm 141 and verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, he says. The incense that went up to heaven, as prayers go up to heaven. And he says there that they have not burned incense. And these are vitally connected together. They live or die together. The testimony for God will be just an empty life of sounding brass and tinkling cymbals without the life of prayer. You see, prayer reaches out to God, gets blessings from the Lord. What is that like in our life? What is that like? If your consistory call upon you, the congregation, for days of prayer and fasting, I ask, I challenge you. I don't know how many will turn up. But if it is like England, we are desperately in need of revival and reformation. There's a general, also fifthly, there's a general departing from the worship of God. The worship of God becomes a hard thing. Something that is too much for people. In verse 6, we read these words of chapter 29. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. That is what took place. Those who had all the blessings of God turned back and forsook and left the Lord, and from that place where he was worshipped, they have forsaken him. How do we forsake God? The personal walk of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, prayer, trusting in him, day by day trusting. My friends, there is too much trusting in politicians, too much talk about politicians and the government and so on, both here and in England. Last year, you've all heard about Brexit in England. For some reason, amazingly, I was asked to go and speak before the House of Lords in England. A nonconformist, a poor man like me, would never be asked to go, but because I'm not an Anglican. But I was asked to go, and I said to them, the only way I will go is if you allow me to speak about something about the Lord Jesus Christ and tell people what is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And an Anglican bishop was ashamed that I was speaking to people and saying the hope of this land is not Brexit, even though it would do us much good, but it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's visitation. And those religious leaders, they changed color. You wouldn't know if I changed color, but they changed color. And they were fuming, angry, that I dared to mention Jesus Christ in that gathering. My friends, our land, our nations need the Lord. But I won't have time to speak about the evidence that a revival has come. But this 25-year-old Hezekiah, we find him consecrating himself. He sees those things, but in verse 2, he says that, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did that. He didn't let other people, maybe you're looking and you're very much cast down about someone else, something else. Maybe you're at home, keeping the home. Maybe you're alone, and you see so many things that bothers you. My friends, consecrate yourself to the Lord. That is what we need. Individuals who are consecrating their lives, yielding themselves to God. That's a sign that God is at work, that revival has come. Maybe not to the nation, but to me. Is this what you need? This is certainly what I need. If this is a message, it's a message certainly for me. I need revival and reformation. Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And so we must be. We are so keen to look at others and seeing other people's service or the lack thereof. And we forget ourselves before God. Hezekiah did not forget that. There was an opening of the closed doors, he said in verse 3. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He began to put things right again. He did that. He did that. He took these things into his own hand, as it were. He found himself to be responsible. We are all responsible in the house of God. All of us. We find into the church in Laodicea, the Lord Jesus Christ stands outside, and this is God's people. This is not a reference to those unconverted people. But we read that the Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear and open, I will come in." It doesn't say, "If any church hear my word, I will come in." He says, "If any man." One person in that church. Just one person, he says. Open the door. I will come in. I will bless. Maybe there is someone here this morning. You are very much cast down. You look at all kinds of things. There's very little that raises your hope. This is a message for you then. It says, you open that door to the Lord Jesus Christ. You give yourself in prayer and service to him. There was the cleansing as well. He says in verse 5, sanctify now yourselves. In verse 16, they did that. The priest did that, cleansed the sanctuary. And David says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. there was a realization also of their true position with God. In verse 11, it says, "My sons, be not thou negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense." Do you know your position if you are a child of God? Do you know your position before him? Justified by his grace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, you might look around and see all things black and dark. And the church oftentimes feels like that. But we have a God who is greater than the darkness around us. So I say to you this morning, by way of encouragement, recognize what is wrong with you as individuals. I must recognize what is wrong with me and see the marks that I need the Lord to visit me. And then let the Ahazes of our lives die. Let him die. Let those things die. Call on the Lord Jesus Christ to raise in you the spirit of Hezekiah, and he will do that. And then it is that we can say, as the Lord visits us in reformation and revival, to me to live is Christ. And then by God's grace we can say, and to die is gain. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. Amen. Let us seek the Lord. Our gracious God, we ask thee that thou wouldst show us mercy. Revive our hearts, O God. Revive this church and all of thy people throughout this land and beyond. Visit this land, we pray. We have done mischief, we have sinned. But we thank thee that at thy right hand is one who is our great high priest, making intercession for us. And so we pray for thy covenant mercies, thou wouldst receive us and visit us. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.